بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت أبو طلحة رضي الله عنه had just returned from work. The child wasn't feeling well. The illness was a prolonged illness. So it was natural for him to ask the child's welfare. So she had one of two options. One is to say it as it were. If she says it as it were, then the husband will be uncomfortable for the entire night. He won't sleep, he'll be turning around, nor will he be able to eat. Because she's lost the child, she's going to break the news. Man is tired for the entire day and he's come up home, and she's going to filter the news to him. So it's going to be natural, it's expected of her that she won't sleep the entire night. And the other was not to disclose the information, just keep it. If she doesn't let out this information, he will eat well, he will sleep well. By the morning I can break the news to him. And when I break the news to him, perhaps he may get upset for that moment, that why didn't you break the news to me in the evening? But the fact is that he will be at ease. And this is what Islam is all about. How can I make my friend, my brother, my fellow partner, how can I make him comfortable? Though I go through the difficulty, it's alright. I go through the difficulty, it's alright. But my friend, my partner, my brother, my wife, she must be happy. So this is what all Islam is about, what all deen is about. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. That I will prefer others to myself, though I go through some difficulty, I go through some constraints, it's alright. But if I can't do anything for my brother, what's the good of myself? If I can't make him feel happy, I can't put a smile on his face, I can't cheer him up, then what's the good of myself? So these Sahaba and Sahabiyat women, this is how they looked at life. That I must be able to put up a cheer on my brother's face, on my sister's face, on my wife's face. I must be able to do that. I will go through the trauma, through the difficulty. It's alright. It's part of the deal. It's alright. So she says that the child is at ease now. He's calmed. So it may seem like a white lie. He's died. But death is a sukoon as well. You know, if someone is lost, right? You don't know whether he's alive or he's dead. So how uneasy you feel. But you know he's died now, so your mind is at ease. You go through the trauma for that moment, but then after that you overcome it. But now he's not alive, he's not dead, you don't know where he is, what's going on with him. It creates a lot of uneasiness. So death is also a type of ease. So in that respect, what she was saying was not a lie. But the meaning that she was conveying to him in his mind was not right. Now in this type of situations, you can speak in that way. In these type of situations, you can speak in this way. And a simple illustration is, if you got ₹1,000,000, if someone comes to rob you, say, how much money you got? You're not going to say you got ₹1,000,000. Obviously, you're not going to say, you're not going to disclose the true figures. Are you going to disclose? You're not going to disclose. You're going to save yourself, and you'll feel that you're justified. Why? Because you're being oppressed. Man is extorting you, so you don't need to disclose the true figures. Many a times we hear one statement, and that statement we hear out of context, and then we want to apply it. Especially with our elders, our fathers, etc. It's good to be forthright, to be straight, but with them you can't just be forthright. you will see now what type of an effect it has on their heart. Like for example, your father tells you or asks you, you had something to eat. He said, yeah, I had something to eat. And you carry on. So that's not the right thing. But no, we had good meals, man. We had biryani, everything. We're just thinking of you. So you will talk a little bit more than what you are required. Why? Because your father is showing you some love. And he expects you to show some appreciation for the love that he's showing you. You're going to speak to me that way. I said, no, I'm forthright. Let's tell my father what I need to tell him. Now, that's stupidity. That's misunderstanding. We don't know Islam. So it's an elder, it's a senior. He needs to be respected. We respect him for the position that he is in. How he's supposed to be spoken to. Sometimes it's just a word, but it makes a difference in the person's life. A small word. And it makes such a big difference to the person, how good he feels. You see this using correct use of the tongue and the incorrect use of the tongue and what problems it creates. So therefore we need to remain with this Buzurgana Deen and these Mashayikh for a long time, long, long time. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, Talab Sadiq Ma'al Fikr and Sohbat Tawila. He says a long duration. And then you need to be enthusiastic about the whole thing, but with a definite concern also. How does he conduct himself here? What does he say here? What does he do here? How does he conduct himself in this situation? So you need to know all these things. Then you become a complete person. But you haven't learned these things here. Now you're going to learn something and you're going to learn it deficient. When you learn it deficient, you're going to impart it deficient. So they will correct you, they will keep on correcting you, keep on correcting you. And why they correct you is not that they want some type of favor and some type of comfort from you. But you, later on in life, you're going to represent them. When you're going to represent them, then you need to represent them correctly. Mirza Mazhar Jana Rahmatullah Alayhi. In his zamana, there wasn't a wali that was great as him. That was the unanimous opinion of the awliya of that time. His khadim akha, special attendant, was Ghulam Ali. And Ghulam Ali was so great, his khadim and his special attendant, the top Arab mashayikh, Allama Shami, Khalid Qurdubi, Ruhul Ma'ani, all these people, the bayat reaches up to Ghulam Ali. The silsila reaches up to Ghulam Ali. But now what he must have put into this person, Ghulam Ali, that in spite of him not being an alim, but great, great people had linked up to him. So the Shaykh will check, and he will keep on checking and correct him, until he's brought the true color in him. In other words, you'll say, he'll smash him down. But the idea is to bring the color. If he's not going to smash him down, then how is he going to get the color? You panel beating the car, right? You give one shot, say, you know, too much, man, I can't take it. So, alright, then remain crooked then. Then you want to be straight, you want to be looking polished and shining and all that, you want the right shape and the right finish, but you don't want the knock. So, how are you going to come out? It's natural that you want to come right, then you will have to have these knocks. You'll have to have that knock. He'll keep knocking you. It's not that he finds pleasure in knocking you. He doesn't find pleasure. Al-Muad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah is Khanqa. One person came in and he's having an argument with a Kuli. Kuli is not an Indian. Kuli is a porter, right? Urdu is a Kuli, a porter, right? So he's having an argument with him right at the doorstep. So the whole argument is about the fee and the tariff for bringing all his goods to the Khanqa. So he's saying 1 rupee and that person is saying 2 rupee, for example, right? Anyway, Mona is overhearing this, Mona came up, Mona asked this person, did you finalize the fee before using his service? You took the service of this coolie, of this porter, but did you confirm the price? No, you didn't confirm the price. Alright, take these 2 rupees and you carry on. Told the coolie, you carry on. Say, by where you came from? I came from Calcutta. It's about 36 or 40 hour journey, right? You go back now. Right. You think Muawiyah found fun in that? Muawiyah didn't find fun in that. For approximately 3 nights after, he couldn't sleep. So this man here, what difficulties he had undertaken to come here. And the poor chap, he did not conduct himself correctly. It was my obligation to correct him. Otherwise, if I don't correct him, I'm failing in my duty. If a child has come to learn tajweed by the ustad, right? And the ustad did not correct him, then he's failing in his duty. I send my child to you that you must correct him in his tajweed. And you didn't correct him, then I'll say you failed your duty. So that man has come to me for correction. I didn't correct him. Then I'm failing my duty. But the difficulty, the trauma that the man must have gone through, he came a journey 40 hours, and I had to send him all the way back. But what do I do? What are my options? If I don't correct him, then this mistake will remain with him for the rest of his life. If I do correct him, then he will go through that pain. But for the rest of his life, he'll think, you know what? When I'm doing something, I need to be straight, I need to be clear. I don't need to get into a dispute in a dealing. My dealing must be absolutely straight, 100%. I can't get into a problem, I can't get into a fight. See what it costed me. I spent so much of money, so much of time to come up here, and I had to go back all the way. So for the rest of his life, it will be locked up in his memory. This is what has happened to me. He'll always be straight, he'll always be honest, he'll be forthright, there'll be no ambiguity in his transactions. Now tell me, all these problems that happens in transactions, most of it is because of what? Ambiguity. Most of our Indians, right, most of us. Man died. So, the children say, no, it belongs to us. Aparucha, you know, it belongs to us. It belongs to us. Now, who does it belong to? No, Aparucha, it belongs to us. But who does it belong to? Now, do you see the ambiguity and do you see the fight that it results in? It may be a spoon or it may be a big apartment. But you are clear, forthright from the very beginning. You bought a spoon and brought it home. So you tell your wife, this belongs to you. Now she is clear about it, and you are clear about it, that I bought it and I have made it over to her. In the event of a death, then I know who this thing belongs to, and she knows who it does belong to. But now, just to show that we are all one unit, as though we are one person, I hid away this information. In the event of death, what type of ambiguity and confusion you are creating? So you clear it up for the moment they find it difficult. But thereafter their minds are absolutely clear, this belongs to him and this belongs to me. It's clear cut, there's no two ways about it. This is what all Islam is about, clear cut, softness, politeness, honesty. This is the very gist, the very essence of Islam. La deena liman la amanata lahu. La imana liman la amanata lahu. وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَهْدَ لَهُ. You can't keep up to your pledge, you can't keep up to your promise. Really, you got no deen. You may say, I'm a Muslim, but really, in the words of Nabi Sallam, you got no deen. You don't know what is deen. In other words, what he's saying, you don't know what is deen. As though you are a jahil. Had you known deen, you would have been very particular about your promises, the pledges that you make, the contracts that you get into. You would have been very, very clear. You would have been honest, 100%. Because I know what my Nabi Sallam has spoken about pledges and promises. I'll be absolutely clear. Even if I have to give a million rand away, I'll give it away. But I know I'm absolutely clear. I don't have any doubt that's suspended upon my head. Otherwise, no, I will interpret it to my convenience. I'll interpret a situation to my convenience. And I do it to my convenience, I'll be having a doubt suspended on my head for the rest of my life. Oh, I said this, perhaps I was wrong. And I didn't do it correctly. And the other way, I said, no, I don't want to get into this confusion. Let me give him that million rand. My mind is clear. The worst scenario is I gave him a million rand extra. But I know I don't have anything, any suspense in my head. On the side of Allah Ta'ala, what will happen? Allah Pak will say, that this person acted on taqwa. And my promise for him is, if you act on taqwa, then I'll open the roads for you. He doesn't believe in his mind. He doesn't believe in his shrewdness. He doesn't believe in his acumen. He believes and trusts in me. You think I'll let him down? He believed in him and he got through. And now he's believed in me. He's trusted in me. He's put his dependence on me. You think I'm going to let him down? I'll never let him down. So Allah Ta'ala looks at it differently. Because you're honest, you're true, you're straightforward. So that reward must come. sooner or later it must come. And the chances are that it will come immediate. Very soon it comes. This truthfulness, this honesty. You appreciate it yourself. Your staff is very truthful to you. You feel very appreciated. Don't you feel appreciated? You didn't know that the staff came a little later. But the staff came and reported, "By, you know, I came late." You didn't know that he stole away a packet of cigarettes. But he said, "You know, boss, I made a mistake. Yesterday I picked up a packet of cigarettes from the shop and I didn't pay for it. I stole it." So you'll caution him, "Don't do that again. See, first chance and last chance." But you will appreciate the fact that he's honest. He's truthful. So we are talking about the careful use of the tongue. And Ghulam Ali, I spoke about Ghulam Ali. So he's making the khidmat of his sheikh. That time wasn't the time of these electric fans and all that. So there was these hand fans. So he's fanning the sheikh. So the sheikh, they say, "Tere haath mein koi jaan nahi. You got no life in your hands." So he started doing it a little bit swiftly. So he says, "Tu to mujhe urai dega. You will blow me off." So now he's got a degree of incompatibility. He's got a degree of compatibility with the sheikh. So he takes advantage over the situation. He says, "Ne aise ban pare, ne aise ban pare." It's not working out like this, it's not working out like this. What was I doing? Sheikh said, "What did you say?" "And get out. No negotiation, get out." Now it may seem to be crude, it may seem to be a cruel treatment. But now for the rest of his life, he is put in a value into this man's mind. Okay, you, in life, you're going to be my representative. You have to be very, very careful as to the use of your tongue. You may think it to be very insignificant, very small, but how it affects, how it hurts the next person, do you consider? Do you respect the next person's feelings? As Umar radiallahu anhu's incident is quite popular and famous. He took the meal provisions on his own back. He delivered it to the widow. He prepared the food, fed it to the children. And his khadim or someone is telling him, "Oh, you don't need to take the pain." His reply is, "I saw these children crying. I want to see them laughing before I leave." See, bring up a chia in someone's life. See? What was it cost you? Or to or apni biwe ke chehre ke upar zara muskurahat ko paida karo. Bring a smile on the wife's. You do so much for others. The cashier that you buy in the mall, right? And you can say, with a smile, say, "You can have the change." As though your heart is flowing out with generosity. Khuda ke bande, if you could show that generosity to your wife, your dear wife, and your daughters and your children that are showing you that type of comfort, that are cooperating with you, do you show that generosity? Do you show that smile? See? But the smile will come and the generosity will come in the wrong places. See? The generosity needs to come, and needs to come in the right places. That wife, she's doing for you, she's slaving for you, she's doing everything for you. But no, she doesn't get that appreciation. So no, I'm going to show appreciation to mata par chari jaye. She'll take advantage over me. What? She'll take advantage over me, so I need to put her in a place. But did you figure out, if you stand before Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will ask you, "You know, this woman did so much for you. She did this, and she did this, and she did this. How did you appreciate this? How do you take this? Or did you feel, no, I'm in a position of power, and I can do as I please?" So if Allah Ta'ala were to ask you that this girl, this woman wasn't supposed to be doing all this for you. She did this, and she did this, and she did so much for you, and she did so much for you. You are where you are because of her cooperation. But how did you return this gift? And what answers will you have? Last week there was a problem. The woman says, "No, I brought the whole thing up. I brought the whole thing up, and now I don't get anything." So anyway, it's not the Sharia's problem. It's the problem of your husband. Your husband should have made it clear. You know, you brought the business up, you gave the ideas, you cooperated with the husband to bring it up to where it is today. Then he could have appreciated this and honored this. But he didn't do it. Stupid man didn't do this. He's dead and gone, but he's stupid. Why did he do that? It's not the fault of the Sharia. That's your fault and his fault. So we need to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the face of Allah ta'ala, in the presence of Allah ta'ala. How do we feature? How do we fear? That she did so much. What did I do? In Pakistan, Hakim Saab was explaining one incident. when the woman gets 3, 4 children, 5 children, obviously she doesn't have the same physique, right? Right? She doesn't have the same shape. And sometimes people begin to fear, you know, they feel, hey, I don't have the same muhabbat that I had those years. So our mashayikh say, you know, the muhabbat is still the same, just the flavor has changed. And it's good for the flavor to change at this advanced life, at this advanced age. Because you are 65, 70 now, and you start acting like 16, you'll get a heart attack. So you act your age. She's aged also, you act your age. You want to act like this, your heart can't take it. It's too much of... The heart is overworked. When the heart is going to be overworked, it's going to be a burden on you. So it happened to the man, he's loaded, got a factory, whatever else. And she's given him 5 children or 4 children. And now she lost her shape. When she lost her shape, so now he married someone else, sweet 16. He's got the money, he's got that strength and that power. He's got that and he's married her. And this girl, he abandoned her. Maybe he didn't divorce her, but he totally disregarded, abandoned her. Khuda ka karna, he just got married to the sweet 16 and he disappreciated this woman. In a year or 2 years' time, within 2 or 3 years' time, and he got paralyzed, head to toe finish. This young girl says, I got married for some pleasure and some good time. So she deserted him, she's gone. Now this woman is gone out of his life, and that woman is gone out of his life. See, Allah Pak wants appreciation. What she's done for you, think about it. Tomorrow you got your daughter, she got married somewhere else. And then the son-in-law does the same thing. Will you appreciate it? So this appreciation, this aspect of great gratitude, appreciation, if someone did that to you, Allah Ta'ala makes it work. Now you threw that wife out of your home, you got thrown out. You haven't got your wife, and you haven't got this new wife also. Both of them, they have left you. Now you have to live there. You have to live a life of misery. It's obviously the type of special attention that the wife could give you, nobody else can give you. Now you threw her out of your wife, out of your life, and you want that attention now. So this aspect of honesty, appreciation, truth, you know, these are important, very, very important aspects of deen. Very, very important aspects of deen. It's not a small thing. It's not a light thing. It's a very important aspect. Imagine how important it is, what emphasis Nabi Sallam had played upon this. He's moving on to Madina Munawwara, right? And he's moving out to Madina Munawwara, saving his life. People are out there with open daggers to go and assassinate him. Right? But with all this problem that is going around, that they're after his life, they want to assassinate him. They've got their daggers all drawn out. You know, literally they've got their daggers drawn out. Right? But in all that commotion, Nabi Sam is instructing Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali, you will remain here. And all the amanat, all the people's wealth that they had with me, that secured all their wealth with me, you will not leave until you return all their wealth. Then only will you come to Madina Munawwara. See, the aspect of honesty, truth, is such an important thing in deen. Anyway, we're talking about it. Sulaym radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And I'm showing you the consideration, the wife's consideration for the husband. What type of consideration? And these people, this woman of old, how they thought. Now, I say this repeatedly. What's the difference between our woman and the woman of old? And a lot of consideration, a lot of respect. Anybody whose mother may be 80 or over 80 now, right? Look at their ways and their mannerisms are totally different to the women that are young. Totally different. So the only difference that I note is those women were Muslim home trained. And today's women are school circular trained. They are Muslim home trained. Right? And they are now school circular trained, or even if they are madrasas, but out of the home. Out of home is out of home. It is just a duty I'm doing. I'm being paid for it, so I'm teaching the child. Finish. My duty ends up with my teaching. So it's a stranger. Your child is a stranger to me. I got 20, 30 children to take care of. So it's a total stranger. I can't give the child a special attention, because if everybody, every child wants that special attention from the class of 20, then I will be left with nothing then. So I'm just doing it as a work, my 1 hour, 2 hours I'm teaching, and there were, we separate ways. And the mother's attention is totally different. So the children that came up were totally different. Their outlook was different, their sight, their understanding, their seeing situations was totally different. So anyway, in the morning, he's read his Fajr namaz, or around Fajr, whatever it was, but Hazrat Umme Sulaim, the wife, she says to Abu Talha, you know, if someone has given you an amanat, a trust, and he asks for it, then what's the right thing to do? She said, the right thing is to give it back with the shia. So, well, your child is an amanat of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has taken the child away. So, but Khuda ki bandi, why didn't you tell me at night? Now she says, I would have spoiled your sleep, I would have spoiled your eating. You had some need with me, you couldn't have fulfilled your need, you could have been tossing, turning around. So everything would have been spoiled. I said, let me take the whole thing onto myself, but allow you to have an enjoyable and peaceful night. Anyway, he couldn't still take it, even related it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam was pleased and gave him a khush khabri, a good news, inshallah, you'll get good children. Whatever the words of the hadith was, but thereafter he got children that were not only leading businessmen, leading ulama as well. That one night, little bit of sabr that she made, consideration and respect for the husband, and what it gave her after that. You see that? See this, this whole world is designed for an examination, for a trial. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. All our efforts have to culminate. It culminates with death, right? But وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ. When we put you through these different trials and different exams, why? These trials, these difficulties are supposed to be trials, right? These difficulties are supposed to be trials. The intention is trial. And if there was no trial, no difficulty here, then there was no point in creating this world. If there was no difficulty, absolutely stress-free, no responsibility, then would there be any point in living here? So you are here, you are confronted with a thousand and one different type of problems. Sometimes wife problem, sometimes children problem, then school problem, then madrasa problem, then homework problem, then get the child up, then university, then getting into a career. That he must be on the line, he must go to jamaat, go for namaz. So 101 problems you got over your head until the child is on line. So right till the end, Allah Pak says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. And we have created him in difficulty. His whole life from the beginning right till the end. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. From the time of concept, when the woman is conceived, right till the time of delivery, right till the time of youth and adulthood and death, you're going to go through a constant difficulty. There's no such a thing like, hey, now we'll live happily ever after. That was a story, you know, it was a fairy tale. Happily ever after, that's a story, that's a fairy tale. There's no such a thing like happily ever after in this world. If it's a badshah or it's a faqir, everybody, someone, some difficulty or the other you must go through. You can't say you'll be free of difficulty. You must go through some difficulty. If it's not physical, then it's mental. If it's not mental, then it's spiritual. But there is generally some problem or the other. Otherwise, why do you find even wealthy people going to a psychiatrist? If they didn't have any problem, they go there for some counseling. Something or the other, something is troubling them. So you see this verse of the Quran, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. From the beginning, right from the time you are conceived. Nowadays, from the time she is conceived, she has to go and book an appointment with a gynae. You know, first month, second month, you must do this, don't do this, don't jump too high, and don't stretch yourself, and don't do all these things here. See? Eat this food here, take this tablet here. See? So many difficulties she goes through. And when the child is delivered, then to so many difficulties. So right through there is difficulty. If you feel that this is a problem-free zone, then you are wrong, you are mistaken. Allah Pak is telling you in advance, this is going to be problems. He's telling you in advance. A little bit of difficulty, but what it brings. And there isn't any soul, you know, that didn't go through difficulty. Every soul that came here, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everybody had to go through, to taste, even the taste, the difficulty of death, you had to taste it. It's a different thing sometimes Allah Ta'ala, in His grace, in His wisdom, for some people He makes that moment very easy. Right? That moment, that fatal last moment, Allah Ta'ala makes it very easy for some people. That's the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, it's the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, that why He made it so easy for a particular person. At that time perhaps, Allah Ta'ala shows him the beauty of his abode, the beautiful abode, his Jannat and all that. So he forgets the pain that he's going through. He's going through pain. But when he looks at that abode that Allah Pak has got in store for him, he forgets that difficulty and he's gone. So some person Allah Pak allows him to go through that difficulty, and some person he goes through that difficulty. But that difficulty doesn't mean that he is anyway not liked by Allah Ta'ala. See, that's where people go wrong. No, he had so much of difficulty. So that doesn't mean that he is not liked by Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps Allah Pak wanted to ascend him. He wanted to ascend him a little bit more. He needed to get a little bit more martabas. So there's a little bit of difficulty and it will bring him up. In the silsila of ours, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah silsila, practically all of us that are here, whichever mashayikh we are connected to, even if we are connected to Tablighi Jamaat, all connect up towards Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Everybody, without exception, whether it was the Tablighi Jamaat, whether it was Hazrat Mawlana Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, or whether Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, whoever it was, but everybody go and connect up with him. But there is some unique things in the silsila. People that commit themselves to the silsila and what they're supposed to be doing correctly, they commit themselves, then generally Allah Pak blesses them in three ways. One is they have a good death. This is an experience. One is they have a good death. Miyaji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, so he had one murid, ordinary person, ordinary simpleton, bichara, not an alim. And this murid's brother was a sheikh. So the sheikh is telling this murid, you know what, you're supposed to be connecting to me also. Otherwise you will regret afterwards. You're supposed to be connecting to me as well, otherwise you will regret afterwards. So he says, I think my sheikh is quite enough for me. I have the confidence, I have the respect for him, and I don't need to take on anybody else. You know, people do marketing, you need to connect here, connect here. Unfortunately, sometimes this thing becomes like a marketing. Marketing, we're looking for numbers. That's not the idea. It's sincerity. Whether there's one person, whether there's a million people, the idea is sincerity. Okay. So that's supposed to be the focus, how sincere we are about it. Not now we've got 100 followers and million followers and so many followers. That's not the idea. You're defeating the purpose. Nabi Sahib himself says, I saw a whole crowd, big, huge crowd. Then I saw with one Nabi. And one Nabi, I saw no crowd. No following at all. But I ask you, that the Nabi that had no following, is he any way less successful than the Nabi that has got crowds? No, both are successful. He did the work, what he's supposed to be doing, he did it. Thereafter, if anybody followed, that was his luck. And if he didn't do it, then it is his peril, it is his problem. But the Nabi is always successful. He did what he was supposed to be doing. So the idea is sincerity. These other things, marketing, etc., that we mustn't get into. So anyway, the brother is right on his way out. And he's unconscious. So this sheikh that was his elder brother, he says, see, bhai, I told you, you should connect with me. Now you're in your last, and we're asking you to recite the kalima, and you're not reciting the kalima. Anyway, he kept on saying this. Anyway, they called Miyaji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. You know what, this is your murid, and this is what's happening to him. So Hazrat Miyaji Sahib called him. When he called him, he opened his eyes, and he says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani minal mukarameen. And saying these words, and kalima, and he's gone. He says, alas, if my people only knew how Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me, and blessed me, and honored me with Jannat, then they wouldn't be saying all these type of words. These are the last words he's saying, and he's gone out. So the one cash benefit is that people that are committed in the correct way, right? And generally, it's experience. I don't say it's a guarantee. Guarantee only comes from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can't give anybody any guarantee, anybody for that matter. A guarantee can only come from Wisdom, but it's a general experience that you go from this world with kalima, with khatma bil khair. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, that rozi mein bhi barkat hoti hai. The one that is committed, show me one person that is committed and he's going through financial constraints. One is committed to it. One is just doing casually now and then he comes, like he got a taluk with the sheikh, but a tohok type of relationship. A relationship, tohok, casual laborer. Coming, not coming, doing, not doing. So that is a tohok type. One is a committed type. Anybody's got commitment, and show me that he's not successful. Financially also Allah gives him. And the third thing is this. He says, وہ جلد وہ نسبت ما اللہ اور وصول ما اللہ ہو جاتا ہے. Very quickly, very rapidly, they link up. They join up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, you know, the whole effort is aimed at what? It's aimed at you joining up with Allah ta'ala. Is there anything else? Is there anything else? The whole purpose after analyzing, discussing, giving talks, everything else, namaz, roza, zakat, whatever else you're doing, but when you add it up, the whole equation is to link up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. Allah begins to love you and you begin to love Him. That's the whole idea, right? Is there anything else? Nothing else. So he said, very easily people gain that type of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the question is, why is it that this is something unique in this silsila? That very easily they connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it? They say that the reason is, the simple reason is, in this silsila, there is a lot of emphasis on being committed to the sunnah. In the silsila, in this whole talim, in this whole structure, program that we give, or we dispense, there is a lot of emphasis that follow the sunnah, adhere to the sunnah. Don't move away, don't shift away. Even for a second, don't move away from the sunnah. Be committed to the sunnah. And why not? Why not? When a person is committed to the sunnah, then Allah Pak takes a liking for him. One old woman, 90 years of age, she sees one youngster, 19 years of age, crossing the street. She calls him. And with a lot of love and a lot of affection and compassion, she's feeding him one meal and the second meal and the third meal. And she's laying it out very nicely for this youngster. So that youngster is, he can't have any doubts about the old woman, obviously. That she's calling him for the wrong reasons. But he's asking, you know, Nani, but why are you showing me so much of love? Why do you show me so much of affection? So the woman says, you know what, my son is out in the army, right? He's joined up. And it's 5 years that he's gone out. And you know, I'm really pining to see my son. When I saw you today, your walk and your features and your looks and your complexion was more or less identical to my son. So I thought to myself that if I cannot cool my eyes with seeing my son, at least someone that is identical to my son. So Allah Ta'ala just takes a liking. The one that is Meri Nabi ki surat lekar ke aaya, he is committing himself to the behavior, to the ways, mannerisms of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala just takes a liking. The beard, the kurta, the mannerisms, the akhlaq, the truth, the honesty, the ways of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala just takes a liking. Adhari Sahib Rahmatullah had one murid. So he came across the hadith. The person performs wuzu with proper adab, mustahab and sunnats. And then after, with all devotion and dedication, he performs 2 rakat namaz. Then Allah Ta'ala forgives all his sins. All his sins are forgiven. So anyway, he did that, all the adab and all the concentration, all the devotion that he could put in, he put in. And thereafter, he turned to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I did this. Now I want to see the reward for this. Some people are like, they want to see, you know. They're curious. Allah Ta'ala, his simple servants, Allah Pak likes them. We think we are smart. But those that are simple, down to earth, don't think anything of themselves, Allah Pak likes them even more. Allah Pak, I did this now, I want to see what's the reward now, Allah. So he sees a hoor from the hoors of Jannah. Too beautiful. Now when you're seeing beauty, right, one is the first look. right? First impression. First impression is just a general impression. Then with a fine comb, neck and how's the nose, how's the ears, how's the footprints, how's the fingernails, all that, everything, smaller details, you won't see everything else afterwards. So now he's looking at the fine comb. First one was, he was overawed, but I'm looking at the fine comb and he's checking her properly. Hey, but this girl here is blind. What happened now? Where went wrong? So he went and related this to Hari Sahib rahmatullah alayh. Okay, you know, I did this and this is what happened. So Hari Sahib very casually told him, Shayad tune aang band karke namaz padhi hogi. Perhaps you perform your namaz with your eyes closed. Though it is permissible, agar chahiye to jaiz hai, lekin sunnat nabi ke khilaf hai. Though it is permissible, but it's not in accordance with the sunnat. So there's a lot of emphasis on sunnat. Leave alone your feelings. What we are doing is my feeling. I don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. I don't get that spiritual feeling. And because of the spiritual feeling, you say, no, my iman is down. Why? You feel no feelings. By Allah, He's not going to reward you for feelings. He's not going to punish you for thoughts. He's not going to reward you for feelings. And He's not going to punish you for thoughts. So why must you stress about it? Don't worry about the worst thought that comes to your mind. And don't become overwhelmed with the best feeling that you have. Forget the feelings and the thoughts. Leave it. Do the work. Amal karo bhai. Do some work. These things, leave it out. Mawlana Ismail Sahib rahmatullah alayh is the grandfather of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So as he aged, he met up with Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and he complained, you know what, that I'm aged now and I didn't do any of this silsilas, you know, this tasawuf and all. I didn't do all these things here, like how it's done normally. He's coming from a family of all Buzurganadi and Mashaikh. All of them are like that. But formally he didn't do anything. He didn't go into the routine formally. So he's complaining to Al-Mu'a Gangawi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, you know, that I didn't do this. Perhaps I may die without having achieved this. So I will have, you know, I will be laid back. Al-Mu'a Gangawi Sahib rahmatullah just pondered for a moment and then he asked him, bhai tujhe sifat ihsan hasil hai? Do you have the ever consciousness and presence of Allah Ta'ala? Do you have the consciousness and the presence of Allah Ta'ala at all given times, at any given time? He said, Alhamdulillah, I read all the masnoon du'as and zikrs, etc. What is supposed to be masnoon, I do all that with the presence of the mind. And with the barakat of that, Alhamdulillah, I do have the consciousness, ever consciousness and ever presence of Allah Ta'ala. Well, Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah told him, when you've already got it then you have to go through this whole routine to come up here. Like you're a doctor now, you're a qualified doctor, practicing very, very well, it's pretty successful. And then you come and complain to the teacher, you know what, I didn't go to grade 1 and grade 2, I need to go back through it. What the teacher will tell you, why you finish all this now, you got what the child is tutored in, what he's educated in, you already got that. You don't have to go through this whole system. Like you, in madrasa, they teach you Yasdan al-Quran, or they teach you part 1 and all that. So you're reading Quran Sharif with tajweed and everything. Tajweed and qaida and qirat and everything. But you complain to the Ustad, no, I didn't do part 1, part 2. So what the Ustad will tell you? He won't tell you, must go back to this. He says, you what was supposed to be achieved, you have got it. You don't need to go through this whole process. But the bottom line is, what did he say? He says, because of my commitment to all this masnoon du'as. Now they are so simple for us to follow, masnoon du'as. But yet, most of us will be relaxed in this regards. See, a simple tasbih Fatimi, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gifted it to his special queen of the Jannat, Fatima radiallahu anha. How many of us can say safely that we do that tasbih Fatimi with all heart and soul? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Understand a little bit of the meaning. One, two words we can understand. My one friend had met as a Sheikh Didat, you know, when he was over 75. So Didat took out one card from his pocket and he had one ayat of the Quran Sharif with a translation. He said, you see, I'm this age, but this doesn't prevent me from learning. I need to learn this for my work. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to reread for 500 times. I'll commit it to memory. But I will do it. See, where there's a will, there's a way. So subhanallah we're doing, alhamdulillah we're doing, but with meaning. And with all dedication and all devotion we're doing subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Now our problem is that sometimes in certain things we overplay our part. What the shaykh has given to you, you will do it all the devotion. So you mean read the bara tasbih and all the whatever else. So with all the devotion, you'll close your eyes before Fajr or after Fajr, and you'll do everything. Right. But this what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had blessed you, how many of us do it with that dedication, that type of commitment, that type of concern, that type of focus? Do we do it? Ask ourselves. We don't have to tell anybody, but ask ourselves, do we do it? Exactly the same. Now you made your wuzu at home. You know, all the respective du'as at the time of wuzu. Allahumma filli dhambi wa wassi'li fi dhari wa barikli fi rizqi. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Right. There are some other recommended du'as, ulama and mashayikh have shown. Like Allahumma inni yasaluka tamam al-wudu wa tamam al-salah wa tamam ridwanik wa tamam maghfiratik. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abdu wa rasul after the wuzu. وَمَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. So how many of us do this? If we do it, then how many of us do it with the presence of the mind? We're just doing it as a routine. وَمَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ going to masjid. Is there any life in our routine? Is there any life? Or it has become just a ritual? Are we doing it with the presence of mind? Doing it wuzu, but presence of mind. Allah Pak's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught me this. He has given it to me. It's His gift. I hold it very dear to my heart. It's a special gift Allah Pak's Nabi has given me. So I can't take it lightly. You're doing it with that feeling. That is the gift of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you're taking it with pleasure. You're taking it with joy. You're taking it with respect. Then you're leaving the home. Alaykum bis sakina. When you're proceeding to the house of Allah Ta'ala, then calmly, gracefully. I'm going to Allah Pak's house. Allah Pak has invited me. And I need to go gracefully. I need to go calmly. Allah Pak, you do forgive me. Allah Pak, I'm gunegar. Allah Pak, I'm not fit to be in your house. It's your grace that has called me. Allah Ta'ala, forgive me. So you're going with that frame of mind. Imagine the feeling. You're talking to Allah Ta'ala as though. Allah Pak, you've invited me. Allah Pak, I can't thank you enough. If you call me, there's so many millions of people that are deprived. Allah Pak, you call me. You allowed me to be present in your home. Then you're coming to the masjid. Then you're saying, Bismillah. Allah Pak, it's only with your grace, only with your help that I've come. I've set foot in your home. Bismillah. By your name, by your grace, by your favor, I've entered. Can you see what's the frame of the mind? When you're walking also, you say, no, I'm not fit. I'm thankful to Allah Ta'ala. Every step you're thinking like that. Then you said, Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. With the frame of mind, that Allah Ta'ala's malaika are present everywhere. And there are malaika that are recording this durood sharif of minds. And straight they are conveying it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As though that malaika are like an antenna. And that antenna is just conveying it straight. There's no indirect call. It's a direct call. Straight, going straight to Madina Munawwara towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So with that presence of mind, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةً سَيَّاحِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُبَلِّغُونَ عَنْ أُمَّةِ السَّلَامِ رَوَاهُ الْبَيْهَقِ. Allah Pak has got these malaika. They are rotating the surface of this earth. Anybody is making salat, durood sharif, they are listening to it. Straight away they are conveying it. Hey, my dear Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is listening to my durood sharif, he is listening to my salawat, salam. Gee, what frame of mind you have got? You already connected to Medina. You are connecting to the masjid, you are connecting to Medina. Do you see that? Isn't your heart going to be there? If you were to think like this, isn't your heart going to be there? It's going to be there. Then you say, Allahumma fili dhambi, Allah Ta'ala, like you favored me to bring me into your house. You favored me, Allah Ta'ala. It was not of my own. So do forgive me, Allah Ta'ala. What I beg you is for forgiveness. What a mistake I'm doing, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Right? Waftah li abwaba rahmatik. Allah Ta'ala, all the doors of mercy open up for me. Allah Ta'ala, I got problems at home. I got problems with my children. Allah Pak, I got problems with my shop. Allah Ta'ala, I got difficulties with my creditors. I got difficulties here. I got difficulties there. Allah Ta'ala, so I need not just one door, all your doors of rahmat. Allah Pak, just open it out to me. See that? Now you see that person that is going to come into the masjid with that frame of mind. What is going to be the frame of mind? If he's going to do it every day, 5 times a day, his tasbihat, his zikrs, that ayatul kursi that he's doing, the frame of mind. So now I can't learn the whole thing one shot. I'll take the whole Ayat al-Kursi over a month, I'll learn the whole tarjuma, the whole translation. But you're doing it like that. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. The living, the all living, and the one that is maintaining all life. He is maintaining and sustaining all life, al-qayyum. He is maintaining, he is sustaining all life. Can you see how your mind is going to be working? How you going to get that protection? See what's going to be the framework of your mind. Now, when we get into, when the namaz is ended, and we think, oh, you know what? Hey, I need to meet this Yusuf bhai, and I have to tell him about this thing here. I won't meet him now. So, subhanAllah, Yusuf bhai, I need to tell you something. Or, I bring subhanAllah, hey, what's the time now? Straight away, shaitan puts all these type of thoughts, unnecessary thoughts, related, unrelated thoughts. So, the type of concentration that you need to do the tasbih, you're not doing it with. Now, you're going to do it with that frame of mind. You see that, why this silsila, it connects you so easily to Rasulullah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because there is a lot of emphasis on the sunnah. When you tie yourself, you commit yourself, you put yourself onto the sunnah. The small sunnah, don't think now, it's a small sunnah, I don't need my life. No, you need the small sunnah, you need the big sunnah. You don't know where, you know, I mentioned this, you know, by the grace of Allah ta'ala, that when we eat, when we sit to eat, right, and then we are told that we wipe the whole plate. If there's any morsel, any grain fallen, then we pick it up and we eat it. Don't we do that? But why we do that? For two reasons that come to our minds. Two reasons. One is the appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how many forces of Allah ta'ala had joined together to make this morsel possible. The clouds at work, the sun at work, the night at work, the day at work, the ground at work, animals at work. Gee? The earth had worked, all combined efforts, men had worked, wholesalers had worked, farmers had worked, retailers had worked, and then the wife had worked, everybody's combined effort, now it made it possible for you to enjoy that one luqma. Right? Now, when so many people's combined effort went in you enjoying that one luqma, and that meat has fallen or that rice has fallen, you just leave it like that. No, I can't do that. Allah Pak, you had given me. You're looking at Allah Ta'ala. No, Allah, I can't do this. How can I do this? As though you're sitting in the presence of the king, and the king is feeding you with his hand. Are you going to just eat casually? Oh, all the respect. Allah Pak, it's your favor. Alhamdulillah. Allah Pak, you're feeding me. So that's the one reason that you show appreciation. And the other reason that they show generally is that you don't know where the barakat lies. You don't know. It may just strike. At one point, it may just strike. Everything may just work out for you. But at which point it will work out, do you know it? You don't know at which point it will work out. Right. You know, you visited so many amils, you know, this one here, that one, everybody. Then eventually you went to Morana Kazi in Phoenix and it just worked out. Right? Right. Then what do you say? No, it worked out there. It's possible that it worked out there, but it's possible that it's a combined effort, you know, it just culminated here. It just culminated here. So you won't spare that. You won't say, no, I didn't need others, and you won't say, I didn't need him. So you don't know where things are just going to work out for you. Every morsel, every grain has got that possibility that things may just work out for you. Every grain has got that possibility. Similarly, this dua that we do, the sunnah that we do, right? We need to appreciate that Allah Pak's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has blessed these gifts to us. Right? But by the same token, we don't know which sunnah will give us that acceptance. This one here, or that one, or that one. We don't know where the acceptance will come, how it will come, when it will come. We don't know. That sinful person, and he's given water to the dog, and then he got thrown in. Just one deed. He may have done other deeds, right? And that Mulana, and he ate that khichdi without salt, and he got thrown in. Right? We know the story. But he's teaching hadith and Quran Sharif and everything else. But when he got thrown in, how he got thrown in? With that khichdi without salt. He didn't complain. He didn't stress about the whole thing. You know, my wife worked for it. I can't complain. And he ate it with relish. So, all that effort went one side, and this one thing just brought that forgiveness. So, you don't know where that forgiveness will come, where that gift will come. So, you will do this, you will do the big sunnats, the small sunnats. You won't consider any of the sunnats to be insignificant. Like, you didn't consider this to be insignificant, you don't think this to be insignificant. Similarly, you're giving sadaqah. Some beggar came to your home, right? On a Thursday in Spingo Beach, it's quite common. Beggars come around, right? So don't look at that beggar with contempt, and you give him, even if it's just 1 rand or 50 cents you're giving him. Don't consider it to be insignificant. Perhaps that may be your forgiveness. Who knows? Do you know that your forgiveness lies in that 50 cents or that 50,000 rand that you are giving? You don't know about it. It may be that 50 cents that brings about that forgiveness. You don't know what the dua that this person is making. You don't know the constraint that he is in. You don't know what type of mind he's got at that time. And he's just making some dua desperately for you. Maybe you just get thrown in. So you do it with that respect. As Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that you don't look at that beggar with constraints. Don't look at him with contempt. And don't become frustrated because of him coming to you. He says that haqiqat, in reality, these are the postmans to Jannat. If these people went there, how are you going to post your rewards? How are you going to post your deeds to Jannat? They came out and they came right at your door. They came right at your door. One is it's a professional beggar, you know that every day he comes there. Imam was telling one person comes to him, whoever it was. But when he comes to him, then he's limping, can hardly walk, and everything, very, very sick and all that. And then as Mona gives him that 20 rand or something, then he's walking, he's healthy, everything, all the sickness goes away. So what is, it's a professional person, right? But one is, you don't know the person. Maybe he's a professional, and maybe he's non-professional. You don't know. It's possible that he's professional, but it's possible that he's not non-professional. You don't know his constraints. He's wearing a good clothing, but you don't know what's going on in his home. Maybe his creditors are pushing him and squeezing him. Maybe his child has got nothing to eat. Maybe just some difficulty just came in now at the last hour. So you don't know what's the condition with the person. You took out that 5 rand, 2 rand, 1 rand, and you gave it to that person. You gave him with respect. Maybe this one is carrying the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe this thing will just push me through. So with that respect, with that significance, with that feeling of acceptance, maybe Allah just accepts this. So he says, this is the reason why in this path, there is this rapid acceptance, this rapid connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the strict and the committed adherence to the sunnah. The committed adherence to the sunnah. We don't consider any act of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a prohibition or an injunction, we don't consider it to be insignificant. So, no, it's just sunnah, what's it? Na'uzubillah. It's just a sunnah. We don't take it like that. We don't take it like that, we don't count it like that. You know, the sunnahs are like the extras that you have at home, right? First you have the main course and all that, and then the dessert comes, the fruit comes. So do you say it's just the fruit, it's just a dessert? Do you say that? It's an optional thing now. The main course is finished. Now this was optional. If I do it or I don't do it, it's alright now. I take the whole thing, I give it to some beggar. It's alright. Do you do that? In fact, most of us, I won't be wrong if I say that we attach more importance to the desserts and to the extras than the main course. The extras and the desserts, we attach much more importance than the main course. Whereas we know that the main course was the actual thing to be eaten. But we attach much more importance to this. So exactly the same. The sunnats, small sunnats, big sunnats. We've got a little time now. For example, it's 10 minutes before azan or 10 minutes before namaz. So we don't have that attitude. No, it's so many minutes still before namaz. Khamakha masjid mein kyun chale jaye? Why should we go for... For no reason, why should we go to the masjid? Why can you say that for no reason we go to the masjid? No. I got 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I'll go and do something. I will do something additional, I'll read some Quran Sharif, I'll make some zikr, I got some namaz to be finished. I will do all these things here. But no, when it comes to namaz, then shaitan puts 101 different type of responsibilities, duties, commitments in your mind, and then this thing just gets left out completely. So you see the adherence to the sunnah. Adherence to the sunnah. This is the thing that brings you very, very swiftly. Very swiftly. Just that we need to understand how important it is. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah was once explaining that many students, when they come to the second year and they learn the definition of mustahab, right? And they learn the definition of mustahab, that kareh to sawab hai, or na kare to koi guna nahi. And if you do it, then there is sawab. And if you don't do it, there's no guna. So then they leave it out. Say, well, it's not a clean smash if I didn't do it. Whereas they don't realize the importance of this mustahabbat. Small mustahabs, but the importance of it. You know, three quarters of our deen is all in adab. In adab, respect, adab, akhlaq. Three quarters of our deen, akhlaq and adab. And most people that got thrown in or got blessed, they either got blessed because of good character or because of adab. If you just look, you know, the person got thrown into the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, or he got his jannat. Why? Like you saw this person who's got jannat. Why? Because of that akhlaq that he showed to the dog, right? Or that akhlaq that he showed to his wife. Do you see? He must have had millions of other works, but the thing that was the cherry on the top that brought the acceptance, it was akhlaq or adab. Akhlaq or adab. And then we treat this adab and akhlaq with insignificant. No, it's not right. It's either akhlaq, adab, and the third thing is tolerance, sabr, patience. Man saw you, he disregarded you, he doesn't talk good about you, he looks at you with contempt, but you still look at him with respect, you still show him the cheer, you still show him that love. You don't become indifferent towards him because of his indifferent attitude. You show him the love, you show him the respect, everything. But most people that have gained, most people that have connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of these three reasons. Look at anybody. Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayhi passed away, and someone asked him, or he was asked in the grave, you know, okay, what have you brought? So he got shocked up a little bit. Now, what have you brought? So he says, other actions may be suspect, you know, but iman is right. So Nabi said, I brought iman. Allah's answer was, "Ama taskuru laylat al-laban." You forgot the night of laban, the night of milk. Have you forgotten that night? In other words, he said he had a stomach problem, he had a constipation, so it came out of his tongue that I had milk, and that milk resulted in this constipation. Right? Although to make the statement is permissible, it's not haram. Don't consider it to be haram. But at the level of his piety, he was not supposed to be saying this. He was supposed to be attributing everything to Allah Ta'ala. Right? But now why did he forget Allah Ta'ala at that moment and attribute it to the milk? The milk is just a means. The cause is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The real cause is Allah Ta'ala. Why did he attribute it? To say, hey, this also didn't work out. This also didn't work. I thought this was it'll just work out, you know. But it didn't work out. Chalo, we have forgiven you. Why we have forgiven you? Because that one night, that cat was shivering in the cold, right? And you had given it that warmth, you had looked after it, you had given it that milk, whatever else you need to provide for it. You shown it that warmth and that affection and that compassion. On account of that compassion that you showed to this kitten, we forgive you today. See? But most of the people that got thrown in or got connected for this reason, either showing respect to any symbol of Islam, anything of Islam, right? Or showing akhlaq, good character and mannerisms, ways. Or number three, is some degree of tolerance. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.